The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
That I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Disconnect.
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
The best I could get was a probably. You would hope I'd get a likely, or most certainly. Oh, today started off rough. I mean, I thought it started off good. I'm walking here, and it's a kind of a commercial sort of place. Belton Village, a lot of restaurants, a lot of small businesses, and I found this hat with a whole bunch of money in it. I thought, whoa, my lucky day. So I picked it up. Next thing you know, some guy with a guitar is chasing me. I thought, man, you never know. Very nice to have you here on The Doctor Is In. I will get over that initial trauma to be able to talk to you. If you'd like to be on the program, it's very simple. 877-573-7825. Not an easy number to remember. When I was taking physiological psychology back in grad school, we talked about memory and short-term memory. They said the average person can keep up to 7 pieces of data in their short-term memory. That's why phone numbers were 7 digits. Now, of course, given the way it is, you have to have the area code in there. So once you throw the area code in, the law of primacy and recency kicks in, and you remember the first part, and you remember the second part, but you don't remember the middle. So you remember 877, and then you remember 25, but the part in the middle, 57378, you don't remember. So 877-57 equal. There, 3 bits of data. 877-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. Why? That's your business. Situation in your life, circumstance, person in your life, kid, adult, grandparent, boss, spouse, another human. Call in, see what we can do to give you a thought or two. I'm not going to do therapy here. Can't do that. It's not the office. And I'm not going to diagnose, that's for certain. And if you're seeing a therapist, don't expect me to comment on what you're hearing from your therapist. I won't do that. But we can educate, give a few ideas. And it isn't always a particular call. It's sometimes a generic call, something you don't understand about psychology or intellect, or development, or psychological testing, or diagnosis. Sometimes it's you offering a helpful suggestion to somebody who just called. You had a situation similar in your life, and you thought, I fumbled the ball right on the goal line. And you said, let me pick up the ball and run it back the other way for a TD, because Ray fumbled it. So that's fine, too. 877-57 equal is the number. First of all, got some thanks to say here. Wait a minute, let me get my book. I don't need my book for the thanks. I need my book for where I'm going this weekend. But for the thanks, what a wonderful time I had. I went down to Evansville, Indiana, St. John the Evangelist, got a chance to speak there, and then followed up at WTJW, Steve Lugers and Linda, Jasper, Indiana. What a great group. So I thank you all so much for letting me be a part of it. Now, next week, good Lord permitting, Catholic Family Land. Some of you may know where that is, down by Steubenville. Speaking, they got this big family conference there. So I get a chance to speak there in the morning, and then I leave there and I drive to All Saints Church in Guilford, Indiana, right over the border there. And I get a chance to talk to them at night at 7 o'clock. So that's where I'm heading. Okay, anything more? Yeah, I know. Enough of this self-promotion. I'm reading a book on narcissism. It's a great book. It's a great book. It's all about me. Okay, I don't know what the numbers are. We are scheduled, good Lord permitting, October 28th and 29th to go to Ann Arbor, Michigan, more particularly Russell Video, where we will shoot 4 episodes of Living Right with Dr. A, season number 15. These are taped for the future, so you don't have to worry about anything happening that can embarrass you, because if it does, we just take it out. We add the wonders of modern editing. October 28th, 29th, 5:30 and 7:15. If you would like to be in the audience, live audience on EWTN, and you're very important. Without you, there is no Living Right with Dr. Ray. For certain, I would not do the TV show without an audience. Can't do it. Very, very, very difficult to do. For me, anyway. So if you'd like to be in the audience, you can ask questions. You can be part of the audience bits. We have a lot of fun. And bring the kids. We love the kids there, too. Matter of fact, one of our best bits we did in Buffalo, and it involved a little 8-year-old girl. So she was marvelous. If you'd like to be there, you go to AveMariaRadio.net. And then you just look on their homepage and sign up. Now, we have limited seating. The Russell Video Studios are not unlimited in their size. So we can take in about 55, 60 people for each show. We got some great guests, too. We got Dave Vacherez. We got Marcus Peter. We have Father Joe Krupp. Many of you know Father Joe Krupp from up there in the Saginaw, Grand Blanc area. He'll be there, too, on Wednesday. Sign up. We'd love to have you. Better get your numbers in now, because once we get filled up, we're going to have to shut it down. So head over to AveMariaRadio.net if you'd like to be part of the studio audience. I'd love to see you. And we'll feed you in between shows. Heard a great line the other day. Is an algorithm raising your kid? Now, I just became familiar with the algorithms in the last couple years. They are a piece of, if you want to use the word brilliant, maybe it's seductive is a better word, technology that says, in so many words, I'm going to see what you're interested in. The algorithm finds that out. Whatever you look up on your phone or your computer, and the algorithm says, oh, well, they'd like to see more of that. Similar stuff. So if you're a 13-year-old who shouldn't have a smartphone but does, looks up something regarding gender confusion or same-sex attraction, well, the algorithm says, well, that's what they're interested in. Well, we want to keep them interested because we can sell more things and make more money. And the algorithm starts sending many more things about gender confusion and same-sex attraction their way. And it isn't stuff that says, oh, we gotta measure this and see what it's all about and think why you're thinking this way. No, no, no. It is here. This is what you should be heading toward. Or if you're a curious 14-year-old boy and you go into a site that has inappropriate material, well, what do you know? You can have some more of that. We'll just feed you a steady diet of it. Now, the interesting thing about technology is most people can't keep up with it. It moves ahead so fast, the average parent is unaware of what the algorithm does. The algorithm says, if you show an interest in this, we will send you much more of this. It'll pop up on your feed, on your phone, on your computer. So in essence, the algorithm has a very potent hand in raising your kid. Most parents don't know that. Over 50% of parents have absolutely no safety mechanisms on that phone or computer. They don't. So, the algorithm says, well, let me at them. Let me have your kid. I'll tell you how your kids are going to think. You, mom, you, dad, you think you're doing a fine job of this. And then one day they're 19 years old and you figure out, how did it get to the point where they think so differently than the way we tried to raise them? Ask the algorithm. Say, hey, tell me. I'm gonna search for children who leave the faith. And the algorithm will send you all kinds of stuff. If you type in something that has to do with some sort of antagonism toward religion, well, what do you know? You get all kinds of stuff that'll slam religion. Of course. Because why? I want to keep you watching. I want to keep you attached. I want to keep you addicted. I hate to use that word, but let me just use it for now. To those sights and those sounds. And before you know it, I'll have you shaped into thinking the way I want you to shape. I meaning the algorithm. So in fact, the only way to stop the algorithm is not to let it have access to your kid. And the only way to do that is to have the strength to say, this isn't good. The only way to stop it is to delay the access to it. Even if I'm only 1 in 100 parent that does it now. Realize the strength that takes. Should make you mad, actually, that they're doing this to your kid. Should upset you real, real good. I remember reading a book about this, and they were quoting a lot of the guys who developed the technology to keep kids hooked. And they said, there's no way I would let my kid get on this stuff because I know what it can do. I designed it. And they were pretty upfront about it. So, once more the question. Is the algorithm raising your kid? 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Want to talk to you. And if you do have some experience with the algorithm, or if you do have some experience trying to resist the cultural tsunami of doing it this way, because I've just become convinced in my years the culture just does not have a good sense on how to raise kids. Give me a call, 877-57-EQUAL.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere, and that's a doctor's order.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Saint Michael, defend us in battle. Available from the EWTN Religious Catalog. It's a cross-shaped plaque depicting Saint Michael triumphant over the devil. Go to EWTNRC.com. Free shipping on online orders, $75 or more. Good stuff. Thank you, EWTN, for that. All right. Interestingly enough, before I go back to the phones, I heard a fella make this observation. I never thought of it, and brilliant. It's brilliant. Wish I could take credit for it. Think about it. We've become a culture that has little three-year-olds wearing helmets when they ride their tricycles. We've become a culture that in every way, shape, or form is hyper-vigilant to any kind of physical risk whatsoever on our children. The stuff that when we did this stuff as kids, right now, nobody would do it. They'd panic that I was probably turning you in for child abuse. But yet, we put something in their hand that is nearly limitlessly capable of misshaping their soul. We're hypervigilant lest they trip on a playground because we have 4 inches of shredded rubber so they don't skin their knee. But then they have a smartphone that they take with them afterwards to McDonald's and dive into it. Daniel from California. Hi, Daniel.
Hello, Doc. Thank you, and I appreciate this program because I think it is critically important of these algorithms and how they're affecting our youth. The question I have is, and I appreciate it, especially this, is that with my nieces and nephews with their tablets, they're constantly on this. What do you recommend in terms of just helping them to guide them away from these tablets and these algorithms, Doctor?
Are they on them at your house?
Yes.
What would happen if you said everything goes in the basket by the door when you come in, you can pick it up when you leave?
Amen. It seems like when I take the tablet away, it's like taking away their phones or indifferent. It's so, but I find it, it's just now, Dr. A, it's encompassing all of their time. And I talk to my nieces, their parents, is that we need to take these tablets away and spend time to open a book and read and read scripture. But however, these tablets are just all encompassing and just kind of keep these kids, you know, in tune.
They ain't going to listen to you, Daniel. You've told them this, right?
I figure that. I get in arguments with my nieces and nephews over it.
Right. The only place you have leverage is your house.
Yes, sir.
What would happen if you said, I really enjoy my nieces and nephews, so when they come here, I want to have any kind of face-to-face time with them. The rule now is all devices, including phones, go in the basket by the door and to be picked up when you leave. What would happen if you did that?
I am sure immediately the children would spout, no, I want my tablets and and plead to their parents to get them back.
How old are these kids?
They are ages 6, 7, and 9.
Oh! I thought you were going to say 14, 16, 6.
No, Dr. Day, they're 6, 7, and 9, and they're just engulfed in these in these tablets, and these algorithms just keep them on it for hours, sometimes at a time.
At your house?
At times it could be at my house. The majority it's at their homes.
You can't do anything about their home because there is something in the parents allowing this. Whether it's laziness, whether it's as long as they're occupied, they're not fighting, whether it's that's what kids do nowadays, whether it's, well, they're just playing games, that's all they're doing, whether it's the new form of entertainment, we had TV, now they have their device. Whatever their rationale is, my experience is, and I can't predict this from your family, but my experience is at some point when these kids are 11, 12, 13, 14, the parents are going to go, why are they like that? And they will not point to the devices as a huge contributor to these kids not wanting to talk to their parents, not playing outside, not even having that many friends, watching their grades go into the tanker. They won't. They will not connect those dots. So again, if you said that's our rule in our house, would the parents not come over?
No, I think they would come over. Actually, that's a good point. I think they would come over. We're very close. They would come over.
Would they be insulted, like you're commenting on their parenthood?
Yes. Yes.
And if you said, I just want to enjoy the company of my nieces and nephews, and I can't when they're on their devices, would they see any wisdom Absolutely. In that?
I pray, but sometimes I struggle with it because I figure sometimes those tablets are just like a third parent. You know, they'll put it in it, and then once the child asks for it, they'll just give it to them. And then it's over, so they don't have to deal with if they're fussing or if they're creating things. But again, it is a huge issue, and I see it not only with my nieces and nephews. I see it with a lot of the young youth in the programs that I participate in with the youth programs, that these phones and these tablets are all encompassing their times.
They're treacherous. They're absolutely treacherous. And even in the very small percentage of time that the kids don't do something inappropriate with the phone, it changes their whole social demeanor. It changes their ability to connect with people. It changes their personality. It changes their interests. The question for you, Daniel, is can you enforce that rule with those little ones when they come in? If you explain to their parents, I just want to have a chance to interact with them in some way spontaneously, and that can't happen if they're on their phones. And the parents will accept that. Will that be?
Yes. I'm going to do that, Dr. Day. One thing I did do was I went up to the mountains, way up high into the Sierras, where we had no connectivity. And that was great. We spent an entire day without any type of device, and we got to, you know, play with the kids, fish with the kids, and talk. So that was a very lightning thing, is to get them outside of the scope of any internet or any type of connection to television or the world.
Isn't it interesting, Daniel, that we have to say, wow, what a unique experience where we actually talk to each other. Whoa, was that cool or what? Most of human history. That's the only things we had to talk to is other people. Oh. All right. Try it, Daniel. See what happens. 877-573-7825. This is Dr. Ray. Thank you for the company. Give me a call. Sure want to hear from you. You are welcome to be here.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. I'm going to do a monologue on this at some point. I'm seeing more and more. Well, of course, this is something that's been happening the last 20, 30 years. It's gaining momentum. More and more adult children writing off their parents or minimally communicating with them and not responding when the parents even try. And I'm seeing a disconcerting percentage of the time at the behest of a therapist. And I'm going to talk about that in the future on why I think this is happening and why it's gaining momentum. But I personally have experienced this. Well, not my own family. My kids don't have therapists. They have parole officers. But that's another story. But I've seen this among friends and people I know and love and respect. And there has been the presence of a therapist saying, I think for your own mental health, you need to write your parents off. Kathleen is experiencing something so very, very similar. Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I listen to you all the time. You're my shot in the arm.
Literally, I don't listen to me all the time, Kathleen. I don't know how you do that.
I think you're great, Dr. Ray. I've never called. But my story is kind of complicated. I was married for 25 years with a man. I have 9 children.
Yow.
7 boys and 2 girls. Anyway, he passed away about a year and a half ago. The father of my children remarried. Got an annulment, remarried a really nice man. Anyways, after his death, they put in the local newspaper, you know, the obituary. And my family is highly educated people, judges, lawyers, doctors. And I wasn't included as the mother of these children. And like they fell out of the tree and they didn't have a mom. And my heart was just so broken. And my oldest son.
Kathleen, who wrote that obituary?
My oldest son has always been my prince and my king. We were always very tight.
He didn't want to mention you.
Well, it sounded like that the new wife, his third wife, was the mom. And I called my local priest and asked him if I should go to the funeral service, which was held at a non-Catholic church. And anyway, my uncle, who's in his 90s, is a retired Supreme Court justice. And, you know, I didn't want to go, but the priest said, just go and sit in the back and go for your children. Some of them like you, maybe some of them don't. But so I went, and my uncle came and said, Kathleen, you know, I want you to know that the family knows how you were treated. And we know what kind of mother you were. And don't you ever let that go. You're a wonderful person, and I love you. So that kind of got me through. It actually still gets me through. And I don't understand.
Well, Kathleen, help me out to understand here something. Are you telling me, okay, your son that you were so very close to wrote the obituary, neglected to mention his mother. Are you telling me that of those 9 children, all of them are kind of acting as though you didn't raise them?
So my youngest daughter, she said, Mom, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I don't know. None of us were consulted. Only 3 people were in on writing it.
Okay. And, so, all right, let me help me understand it. So it wasn't all of them. It was a small group who decided, okay, we got something against Mom, and we'll just kind of leave her out of this obituary. Maybe their view was, okay, they're divorced, the marriage was annulled, so therefore no need to mention her. Is that possible?
That's sort of, and I did confront him much later, and, oh, I just forgot Mom, and I'm you know, he's not a dumb guy. It's just like, well, wait a minute, Damien, you know, my granddaughter, who writes really well, I understand I was in there and you scratched me off and helped me understand why. And he goes, I don't know, it's just with an oversight, I don't know. And so there's still
so he doesn't want to tell you why, Kathleen. He doesn't want to tell you why.
Why do you think, Dr. Ray?
Well, I can wildly speculate one of 2 things. One, when you have 9 kids, there's going to be a few of them that are going to think you didn't raise them right. You didn't do something or more that you should have done and you didn't do, and so now they're carrying this resentment into their adulthood. That's one.
Okay.
Or 2, it could be, as I mentioned earlier, that he's thinking, well, this is Dad's death, Mom's remarried, it's not a situation that's involving her, so therefore I'll just kind of let it slide. Now, we can say, why'd you do that? But in his mind, there was reason to do it. Now, he's trying to tell you that's why. That's what he's saying. And you're saying, I'm not sure I buy it.
I forgot to put this part before this even came out in the paper. I guess my thoughts, I went over there with some holy water because I wanted to just say goodbye to him after his death. I was instructed I couldn't go come over, you know, before he died, according to my children. Dad didn't want to ever have you around, only the wife and the new wife. And so I did go over there, and I was promptly escorted back to my car. You cannot go down, by my oldest son. And then a couple of them said, he wasn't a Catholic. I said, yes, he was. He was baptized. He had all the sacraments. And he married me in the Catholic church.
And well, Kathleen, I'm going to have to hurry you because we're going to bump up against a hard break.
Okay, my son's wife said, get the F off my property, and that never was resolved either.
The bottom line is this. Your ex-husband said, I don't want her in my life. And if she comes around, don't let her come around. And your kids said, okay, Dad's dead. We're going to have to respect his wishes. And they did that, correct?
That's right. All right. That's correct.
Now, if you impute to them nasty motives, in other words, well, we agree with Dad, get out of here, you're going to be hurt. But if you say, well, they're honoring Dad's wishes, and he had a lot of bitterness and resentment toward me, so they're just doing what he said, and he may have said it on his deathbed, who knows, then at that point, I think you'd look ahead in the future to see how they're treating you. If they're treating you okay, then this was just some kind of, this is what Dad wants and this is what we're going to do, and there's not much more to it than that. If, however, a couple or 3 of them are saying, yeah, now that Dad's dead, we don't have to have anything to do with you, then those are deeper issues.
Yeah, some of them are, but yeah, thank you, Dr. Ray. Well, you helped me a lot.
I don't know what I said so much to help you, Kathleen, but I'm awful glad I did.
well, acceptance of what you said. So that's
yeah,
that's and, better.
And you don't really know the motive. And if they treat you good from here on out, you can assume the motive was, well, we're just going to honor Dad's wishes. And the daughter-in-law who said this scurrilous thing to you, you can probably figure, ah, she doesn't like you anyway, because whatever she's been told about you, there's no way you can counter it because she was told all this stuff. So her opinion of you is, you're a loser, get out of here.
Right.
Bless you, Kathleen. Right. 877-573-7825. This is Dr. Ray. 877-57-EQUAL. Who's equal? You? Me? We're all equal here. We're winners here. Trophies for everybody for your calls.
Why is the calling on the name of Jesus so powerful? According to the Catholic Catechism, to pray Jesus is to invoke him and to call him within us. We are welcoming the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. A simple invocation developed through tradition in both East and West and transmitted by the spiritual writers of the Sinai, Syria, and Mount Athos is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. Through this prayer, the human heart is open to human wretchedness and the Savior's mercy. Invoking the holy name of Jesus is the simplest way of praying always. If the heart is humbly attentive, the prayer is not lost by heaping up empty phrases. It holds fast to the word and brings forth fruit with patience. The prayer of the church also honors the heart of Jesus and the way of the cross, which we call making the stations. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We get what we look for. St. Therese of Lisieux has an interesting insight on this. Once in a discussion over the possibility of avoiding purgatory, the future saint told another member of her community, Sister Maria Fabronia, that God was more father than judge. And in this discussion, debate, she finally took the liberty of saying to the other sister, if you look for the justice of God, you will get it. The soul will receive from God exactly what she desires. Are we full of wounds and anger and hurt, and do we want to inflict that on other people? Are we allowing God to heal us? If we receive his mercy, we have to show it to others. The Beatitudes are the heart of Jesus' message. Let's be transformed by them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
G.K. Chesterton wrote a brilliant book, The Everlasting Man, responsible for a lot of people converting to the faith. But his writing, you can be confused by some of the stuff he brings in. You got to have a heavy background in this. You know, you got to be really good at Jeopardy. So Dale Alquist, and he is a great, great commentator on Chesterton, he offers a new guide. The Everlasting Man, introduction, footnotes, running commentary. He's going to explain it all. It's great stuff. It's great stuff. I would probably have to get it because for me to read The Everlasting Man, I'd go, okay, I'm getting there. Now you can get it at EWTNRC.com. That's where it is. Now Maria says, Dr. A, Maria from Montana. By the way, that's my wife and I are going to Montana because our last child has left the home, and we are getting into a parent protection program. They're going to relocate us in Montana, change our identities, take the kids probably a couple weeks to find us. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I got you.
It's the right place to come and hide. There's plenty of spots to bury bodies and
there's a lot of room up there.
A
lot of room.
I wanted to make a comment about Daniel, that one of the previous callers, mm-hmm. his situation, that I think that having a rule like that in his house is just so brilliant that he would have the phone, have the phones all be put in baskets, phones, tablets, everything.
Wait a minute. That wasn't his idea. That was mine. The brilliance was mine.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I think that's a brilliant
idea. You know, you're lucky,
idea.
Maria. I'm going to let you get away with that one time. Don't mistake my brilliance again, or this call could get disconnected.
It could get disconnected either way. But the thing that I think he needs to kind of have a game plan for that I think would be helpful for others in this situation is to have a game plan for what activity are you going to do together? Much like he talked about at the end of the call where they had such a great time.
Going to the mountain.
Playing and doing stuff up in the mountains away from any cell service.
Well, you think he put a mountain in his backyard maybe? That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? I brought in the mountain, kids.
That would be cool.
He could bring in one of those.
That would be like coming to Montana.
You guys got mountains everywhere in your backyards, in your bathrooms. You got them everywhere. I think that's a great idea, Maria.
In a third of the state.
I think what he was implying was that this stuff would naturally occur with a 6 and a 7-year-old because he wanted to interact with them. He didn't want to say, I don't want them on their phones, but I'm going to ignore them while they're here. So I think your observation is dead on.
Oh, thank you. Can I get that in writing?
Well, I would except you were brutal in giving him credit for my idea. You know that? Thank you. That's a great idea.
Game plan for age-appropriate other stuff.
Game plan, no pun intended, right? Game plan.
Yeah.
you can always play Monopoly, the game that never ends, goes on for hours.
Yeah, I never liked
that. Or you know the other game that never ends? The card game War. Because when you get all the low numbers, now they're in your stack, and then you're going to lose them because you can't win a war with a 3. They're going to get the 3 back, and then they're going to lose it. And it just goes back and forth. You play war, nobody wins. It's just a stalemate and calls a truce. Maria, thank you, sweetheart. True. Call anytime.
Bless your
heart. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we got Carol. I'm really nervous about this particular city in South Dakota. I've spoken there. But anything that has Sioux in it, Sioux Falls, it makes me nervous. But Carol's calling from Sioux Falls. Hi, Carol.
Hello, how are you? Yeah. I was there when you were in Sioux Falls.
And you dozed off twice. I remember that.
I was just calling, kind of following up on Kathleen's call. I was on the opposite side, and I was one of those kids who was requested to leave my father out of my mother's obituary.
Wow.
And he was in the meeting where we were drafting her obituary, and when it was all said and done, he was deeply hurt. And I'll never forget him standing up and walking out. And I chased after him. And really, I mean, the point he made was so, I mean, even her dog got a mention, but not her husband of 40-some years.
So this was not a divorce situation. They were married when she passed.
They were divorced at 45 years. And
was it his idea?
They had always been in each other's lives.
Was it his idea? Was it his idea?
I think it was his idea. Yeah, he was the one that finally said enough is enough.
So she was very...
I mean, they were very much in our lives together still.
She was very upset about this. She was upset about this.
I think she was.
And this is her way of getting back at him.
It's her last jab at him, I guess. But, you know, us kids, we weren't going to let that fly. And we did. I mean, he did get mentioned in her obituary.
If they weren't married anymore, how did you do it? How'd you mention it?
That along the way of her life, she married my father, and from that marriage had so many kids.
That's very nicely done.
Yeah.
None of the kids objected to that. And they didn't say, wait a minute, we got to respect what mom wanted.
No, no, nobody objected to it. No, because no, it was part of her life. I mean, you know, you just don't. Yeah, and they were cordial to each other. I mean, when she was diagnosed with her sickness, the relationship that he was in with was pretty much put on hold while he spent as much time with her and his kids, you know, as time would allow.
Let me see if I got the timeline. They were divorced. He was seeing another woman. Your mother got sick, and so he basically said, I'm going to prioritize my attention to your mom.
Yes. Yeah.
But can you imagine, though, Carol, how much her resentment still brewed even as he did that, because she saw it as, how could he break up this family?
Yeah. She said he was her only love, so, yeah. And their marriage was a little tumultuous, but, you know, whose isn't? From time to time.
So you're right.
But, you know.
You did the exact opposite of what happened in the previous call.
Yeah. Today, though, you know, about 20 years later, we just buried my father. And my youngest brother has disowned all of us. And he did that prior to my father's dying.
And he still, after all these years, still disowned you all.
And yeah, I mean, he came up, he wanted to be a part of writing my dad's obituary, and we were all more than gracious about letting him be, you know, do that. And we were attentive to his wishes and his suggestions and so on. And at the funeral, he wouldn't sit with the family. He wouldn't talk to the family. And after the funeral, he was overheard saying, "Thank God I don't have to do anything with those people again, or I don't have to see those people again."
Let me guess. And I'll bet he's also abandoned religion.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
That's almost always part of the picture. Well, yeah. Carol, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that and saying, in fact, we're gonna put Dad in there. Did you mention me at all?
Yeah. No.
No? Okay.
No, but you have definitely helped me along the way in dealing with conflicts, so I appreciate that.
Could have at least put a postscript or something in there, you know. Just, you know. All right, thanks for the call, honey. I'll talk to you. See ya. Now, see, that's why, if I get an ugly email, that's why. How dare you even imply that they're going to put your name in their mother's obituary or their dad's obituary. Because this is radio, you cannot see my tongue planted firmly in my cheek. So firmly that it's almost poking through. This is Dr. Ray.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
A great Bible study leads to an encounter with Jesus Christ that compels you to share your faith with others. This Advent, join Catholics across the country starting November the 5th for Bible Across America, a nationwide 7-week Bible study on Jesus as teacher and Lord, spearheaded by our sponsor, the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, with some of today's leading Catholic voices. Join the nationwide Bible study by visiting stpaulcenter.com/advent.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hey, we got another EWTN radio partner, KOGD 107.1 FM, serving Shawnee, Oklahoma. They've been 10 years on the air. Benedictine Fathers of Sacred Heart Mission. Congratulations. Yeah, that is how you spell it. S-Z-A-S-Z. That's going to be a topic of my future e-person monologue. Yes, as he came out with an awful lot of controversial wrinkles when he said psychotherapy doesn't work. Well, maybe it would be better said it doesn't work as well as its proponents and the general public believe it should, and I think that is a fairly safe thing to say. But any more details on that, and you're going to have to listen to a future e-person monologue. I got a couple minutes here. I want to make a few more comments. I'm now becoming convinced that among particularly Catholic homes, now I don't have a whole lot of contact with folks who are Christians of the evangelical tradition or mainline Protestants, but among faith-filled Catholic homes, at least as they try their best, it is a minority who does not have at least one of their children who wants nothing to do with them. I think a big part of that is that the secular culture, the humanistic culture, I'm not even going to call it the progressive culture. I'll call it the regressive moral culture, has been very, very good at twisting the thinking against the way they were raised and against the religion they were raised with. The culture has told them this is all nonsense. Your parents stifled you. Your parents psychologically hurt you by trying to teach you religion. Your parents are throwbacks, your parents have political views you can't stand, etc., etc., etc. So I'm now becoming convinced it is no longer the exception, but it is the rule that if you tried to raise your children as best you could according to the faith, especially if you have a lot of kids, like 3, 4, 5, which is a lot in our culture now, there's a very good chance, better than 50-50, at least my experience says this, that one or more of them is going to sever the relationship, is going to say, leave me alone. And even if you try to reconnect in any way that you can, through an apology, through birthday cards, through invitations, whatever it might be, you are ignored. And you're left with befuddlement, and you're left with an incomplete picture because you can't know everything that entered in. Much of the time, they don't tell you. And in a future e-person monologue, I don't know the percentages, but my guess is that at least a minority of the time, well, that's a bad way to put it because a minority could be 1%. I'm going to say a significant minority of the time. I have no idea on the percentages. Therapy's involved. And I will talk about this in a future e-person monologue because I'm starting to see more and more of this. And part of the reason for this is that most therapists are secular in their view, and so they don't view it as there's a certain virtue involved in forgiveness. There's a certain honor thy father and mother involved. No, they see it as if yourself is hurting, you need to get rid of whatever's causing the hurt. And if that happens to be your parents, happens to be your parents. Walk with God. Don't neglect him. Could be a high price on that one.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.